I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and on behalf of Providence BP Church, I wish you all a blessed Christmas and a wonderful New Year ahead, 2020. Now, on this Christmas Day, I would like us to consider the passage that records the wise man who have brought the gift to Jesus. It is a beautiful but mysterious passage, and an important part of the Christmas story as revealed to us in the scripture. The story of the wise man raises all sorts of questions. For example, who were these wise men from the east? What was the star in the sky? Was it a natural star or a supernatural phenomenon? How did they know that the star meant? And what was God's purpose in bringing them to Bethlehem? Of course, we won't be able to answer all these questions in this sermon, but I trust we will gain a greater appreciation for these wise men and their part in the Christmas story. One of the main things I would like us to understand is not everyone responds to Jesus the same way. Having heard and witnessed the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ as fulfilled in so many places in the Old Testament prophecies, we would think that everyone would come to worship him as king. I wish it were so. But it was not true then, and it's certainly not true in our day. I would like us to consider 3 points this morning. First, Jesus is the king who is worthy of your seeking. Second, Jesus is the king whom you cannot afford to reject. Third, Jesus is the king who is worthy of your worship. Now, first, Jesus is the king who deserves your worship. Now let us look at verses 1 and 2 with me. I'll read that again. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Notice the wise men said that Jesus was born already a king of the Jews. I want us to know that Jesus did not become the king of the Jews. He was born the king of the Jews. The fact that Jesus is born a king traces all the way back to Matthew chapter 1 to Joseph's genealogy and the birth of Joseph. Now, Jesus is the son of David because Joseph was the son of David. And Joseph legally adopted him into the line of kings. Jesus was born as king. He did not become king. He is the king. Now, all these wise men were seeking him to pay him homage. But who were these wise men, by the way? That the wise men were probably astrologers and magicians who study stars and interpret dreams. Matthew tells us that they are from the east, probably not from the far east like China. They probably came from Persia or Babylon. So they were Gentiles and pagan in their religious background. We're not told, by the way, how many wise men they were. A tradition says it can be ranging from 3 to 12. Now, we would like to think that there were 3 wise men because of the hymns that we sang just now. end of the Christmas stories that we heard. Now, there were probably three or more than three, probably because of the number of gifts. Three gifts. Now, despite of their Gentile backgrounds, God was pleased to reveal the mystery of the birth of Jesus Christ and have invited them to seek the King. That this was the gospel invitations to the Gentiles even from the beginning of this gospel account. So God sent a star in the sky to announce the birth of Jesus. People often wonder whether the star was a natural one or a supernatural and miraculous phenomenon. Whatever it was, what we know for certain is that something unusual occurred and caught their attention, and they were able to connect it with the birth of Jesus Christ. You may wonder also why they knew that the star had to do with the birth of Jesus, the King of the Jews. Now your guess is as good as mine. But this is probably what happened. Remember the Jews went to exiles in 586 BC, almost 600 years before Jesus arrived. So these Jews were dispersed and scattered in places like Babylon and Persia. So it is very likely that these wise men have learned about the birth of our Savior, particularly the passage from Micah 5:2 that says the Savior will be born in Israel in the town of Bethlehem. And God promised in the book of Jeremiah, says that whoever seek him, he said, ye shall seek me and find him when ye shall search for me with all your heart, Jeremiah 29:13. So whatever the case is, it is evident that these wise men were seeking for the King of the Jews. They are seeking for Jesus. It is interesting that the Matthew's Gospel begins with the Gospel invitation to the Gentiles, and it ends with the Great Commissions to send us all out to preach the Gospels to all nations. And the word Gentiles literally means nations. And we are all ought to bring the Gospel to all nations, all people. Dear friends, Jesus is the King who deserves your seeking, because He is the King who loved you so much, was willing to come down to this world to live and to die on the cross of Calvary for your sin and for my sin. And if you found Him, and you shall definitely have a rest of your souls, of your weary souls. And He has promised that whoever believes in Him and call upon His name shall be saved. So first of all, we learned that we have seen that Jesus is the King who deserves your seeking. If Jesus is truly King, which He is, you cannot afford to reject Him. That moves to the second point of our sermon. Jesus is the King whom you cannot afford to reject. In verses 1 and 2, we have an account of the wise men seeking Jesus. Now in verses 3 to 8, we have Herod and the religious leaders who rejected Jesus as king. I would like us to consider three characteristics of those who reject Jesus as king. Number one, they were troubled or greatly disturbed by who Jesus is. Verse 3 says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When the wise men arrived in Jerusalem, apparently they did not go straight to Herod. They went asking around where Jesus was going to be born. But soon the news of their arrival reached the ears of Herod. And the Bible says, Herod, along with the rest of Jerusalem, were troubled. They were greatly disturbed. Disturbed by the fact that some wise men came from afar to seek for the King of the Jews. We were not exactly sure why they were so troubled and disturbed, but at least I know why King Herod was troubled, because he did not have room for Jesus. Now, Jesus is the King. He did not want He did not want to have any competitor. He did not want Jesus to rule over his heart. He did not want to submit to Jesus' authority. Well, who has room for Jesus today? If not by the grace of God, I would rather be my own king. If not by the grace of God, I wouldn't want anybody to rule over my life. If not by the grace of God, I wouldn't want to submit to his authority. About a week ago, we're out to distribute some tracts, gospel tracts, and pamphlets, invitations to our coming Gospel Sunday, which is next Sunday, where Reverend Edward Powell will be our speaker. And as I was giving out tracts, I tell you, it is not the most encouraging experience for some of you who have done evangelism, you know what I'm talking about. Now, as soon as majority of people would just turn away, as soon as you mention the word Jesus, or the church, or the gospel. Now, let alone even mentioning the more offensive words, such as sin, repentance, and hell. Now, you see, people are still troubled and disturbed by who Jesus is today. And that is a natural response to the world which was blinded by Satan and darkened by sin. People don't want to hear about Jesus' name. People do not want to know who Jesus was. People do not want to know what Jesus has done for them. People don't want to acknowledge him as king or receive him as your savior. So instead of being drawn to him, they rejected Jesus because they wanted to be their own king. Now what's more amazing is that many people who reject Jesus as king did not do it out of ignorance. They know full well that Jesus is king, but they choose not to receive him as king. That is the second characteristic of those who reject Jesus as king. They knew who Jesus is, yet chose to reject him. Well, at least that's what happened during Jesus' day. Turn with me to verse 4. It says, "And when he," that is the King Herod, "had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, all the religious elites of the day, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." Now notice that Herod called all together of the religious leaders and elites of the day, the members of the Sanhedrin Council, the chief priests and the scribes, and of course the Pharisees were missing, but they made up a large bunch of the Sanhedrin Council, which is the highest religious council of the day. So they called them together, and Herod asked them the questions, where is Jesus is going to be born? And this religious bunch tell Herod, in Bethlehem, in Judea, but thus it is written by the prophet, that is prophet Micah, in verse 6, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, that shall rule over my people of Israel." Wow, that's amazing. These people told Herod exactly from prophet Micah, from the Old Testament, and they answered with flying color. And they just scored an A+ in their theology exam. You know? And yet they were not prepared to receive Jesus as king. You see, their rejection of Jesus is not based on ignorance. They knew Jesus was king. They knew what the Old Testament scripture says. But they were not willing because they chose to reject him. Dear friends, it is possible to have knowledge about Jesus Christ, and yet to have knowledge of what he has done for you and for the mankind, yet reject him as king, just like these people. And I pray that you are not one of them, if you are not yet saved. Now, over the years, I've asked, quite a few people who profess to believe in Jesus Christ. And I asked them, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross? Yes. Do you believe that Jesus Christ can forgive your sins and we are saved by grace through faith? He said, yes. And not by works. Yes, yes, yes. But unfortunately, you don't see any fruit of repentance in their lives. They go on living the same lifestyle they used to live. And they're not interested in any spiritual things whatsoever. What I am about to say is not designed to discourage you, nor to cast any doubts on your salvation. But as the preacher of the gospel, I want you to examine yourselves before God, before it is too late. Now, if Jesus is not your king, he is not your Lord. If Jesus is not your Lord, you're not his disciple. If you're not his disciple, you have not yet followed him. You have not yet followed him, you're not yet born again. If you're not yet born again, and you claim to be a Christian, you're deceiving yourself and others into believing that you're a Christian. Now that is also the third characteristic of those who reject Jesus as king. In pretense only, they worship Jesus and follow Jesus. At least this is definitely the case of King Herod. Look with me at verse 6, 7 and 8. Then King Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. Here it seems that King Herod wanted to know where exactly Jesus was going to be born, so that he could go and worship him. So he told the wise man to make a careful search, and after that, come to tell him and inform him about it. But in reality, we all know, as we read the Bible, Herod wanted to murder the child. This is nothing but hypocrisy and deceit. Like, the situation is similar in our day. Now, Jesus warned about those who would pretend to follow him. And it said that in Matthew chapter 7, it says, not everyone who has said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now the word know and knew is a kind of knowing of a relationship akin to that only exists between husband and wife. It is an intimate relationship. So what? When Jesus said, I never knew you, he's saying that, well, you never had an intimate relationship with me. What you had was a superficial relationship with me. That means nothing. Jesus' point is clear. Not all who call themselves Christians are born again. Not all those who call Jesus Lord, Lord are Christians or disciples of Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're already born again, if you have received him as king, if you are submitting him as your king, and your life is under his control, and follow him as your Lord, praise the Lord, thank God about it. But if so far you only have a superficial relationship with him, and never surrender your life to him, you're not a so-called carnal Christian. I guess there's no such thing as carnal Christian or baby Christian. You have simply not yet born again. Then I urge you, by the mercies of God, that you better make sure that Jesus is your King and the Lord of your life, who governs your life. Otherwise, you may be just be paying lip service when you come to church. For He is the King whom you cannot afford to reject, because He concerns your eternal destiny. So first we have learned that Jesus is the King that is worthy of your seeking, because He loved you so much so that He came to this world to die for your sin on the cross. Second, we have learned that Jesus is the King whom you cannot afford to reject. And if you are a believer and a disciple of Christ, and receive Him as your King, you ought to worship Him, because He is worthy of all worship. And how should we worship Him? Well, we can find three characteristics of true worship in this passage. And it came from the way that these wise men worshiped Jesus. Firstly, they were rejoicing when they approached Christ. Look with me at verses 9 and 10. It says, when they had heard the King, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. By God's sovereign power, the star continued to point until it stopped over the place where the child was. Now the phrase, they rejoiced exceedingly with exceeding joy, literally means rejoice with great joy. Or they rejoice with tremendous joy. Or they rejoice with unspeakable joy. The lesson for the first characteristic of true worship is simple. Those who worship Jesus as King should rejoice with great joy as they approach Him. That is the one mark of true worship. And ask yourself this question this morning. Did you come to church this morning? This is not Sunday, of course, I know, but this is a worship service. Do you come to church this morning with great rejoicing? As we worship God, as we sing praises unto Him. I know that the sermon may be a little bit boring, but do you find it a great privilege being able to come to church to serve Him and approach Him and being able to approach God freely with confidence and take it as a privilege? Think about those questions as we move on to the second characteristic of true worship. When you worship Jesus, the King, we not only approach Him with great joy, but you give your all for Christ. Verse 11, when they were come into their house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped Him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when I say all, I don't necessarily mean monetary gift. You can if you want to. When I mean all, I mean all your focus and all your devotion. Now notice Jesus is mentioned before Mary. The focus is all on the child, not on the mother. It's all on the child, the King Jesus. And that's the way it should be. That's the way worship should be. We should place our focus and give all our devotion to Christ Jesus when we come to worship Him. So note, unless you're a doctor, and no replying text messages or checking out emails during the worship service. You see, the wise men were looking for the child. And King Herod was also looking for the child. The star stops over the place where the child was. The focus is on Jesus, and it should be. And it should be the focus of our worship. And on coming to the house, the wise men bow down and fall flat on their faces to worship Christ the King. It is an appropriate gesture and a response when you come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, not many of us I know who will literally bow down themselves on Sunday when we come to worship. But at least that should be our heart's attitude. What does that mean? That means our heart should be filled with humility and reverence for Christ whenever we come to worship Him. If you don't have that, those things, even if you fall flat on your faces, that wouldn't work. It begins with the heart. And is worthy of all power, glory, and honor. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is worthy of our worship. And the wise men opened their treasures, and they presented Jesus with most expensive gift: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And those were the gifts suitable for kings. They literally give Jesus their all. They are not cheap gifts. They're certainly not loose changes. Do you know who is the godliest president of the United States? I think some of you have heard this illustration before. The answer is George Washington. Because $1 bill is the most common dollar bill that is found in the offering bank, where the image of George Washington is found on the dollar bill. Of course, I think most of our notes has Queen Elizabeth's image, you know, and or the coins carved in it. Probably that doesn't apply to Australia. But the point I'm trying to make is, when you worship Jesus, our God and our King, give your all for Christ. And when it comes to offering, give according to your ability. Give according to your ability. Okay. And God will bless your soul. And the third and final characteristic of true worship is, commit yourselves to following Christ. Commit yourselves to following Christ. Now look at me at verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. I'm sure when we go to heaven, we will see these wise men, either 3 or 12 or a bunch. Because they not only believe in God, they were also disciples of God. How do I know? Well, because they followed exactly what God has told them. A disciple of Christ is someone who obeys his master. And surely they did, to obey God. And no question is asked. Okay, God, you don't want me to return the same way. You want me to go by a different way. Fine. A different way is another way. In verse 12, we are told that God warned them in the dream that they should not return to Herod, and they simply, that's what they did. By the way of applications, when you worship Jesus Christ, you will also find yourself told to go another way. Not the old way, but a different way. Remember Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thread, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." What does that mean? When you come to Christ to worship Him as King, you find yourselves switching ways. switching roles. Now, worship is not once a week activity. Worship is not definitely what you do only on Sunday. Worship is a way of life. So if you want to worship Him, you worship Him on a daily basis. And when God has told us to choose another path, not the old path, but a new path, not the old way of life, but a new way of life, we should obey Him. Because we are His disciples. You can no longer walk in the old way. You are a disciple of Christ. You are to follow Him to walk in the new way, for He is your Lord. And what is the new way that the Lord told us to follow? What Jesus says, if any man were to come after me, he should take up his cross and follow me. Right? If anyone, any man were to follow me, take up his cross and follow me. And what does that mean? It means two things. First thing, it means to live a life of total consecration and self-denial. That's the first thing. Second thing, it also means put your sinful flesh to death and live in newness of life. You no longer want to live the old way of life. You want to live a new life unto Him. Live a holy life unto God. You should determine yourself to live more and more like Jesus. That's our calling. So the first characteristic of true worship is to rejoice in Christ as we approach Him. And the second characteristic of true worship is to give our best, our all for Jesus. And the third characteristic of true worship is committing to follow Christ. In conclusion, we have seen that Jesus is the King who is worthy of your seeking because He loved you so much. He was willing to give His life for you. And also, Jesus is the King who you cannot afford to reject, because that concerns your eternal destiny. And finally, we have seen that Jesus is the King who is worthy of your worship. So come before Him rejoicing. And also give your all for Jesus. And be committed to follow Him as His disciple. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word on this Christmas day. Father, I pray especially for some of those in this congregation who are still not believers. We pray that through the preaching of the gospel that they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I pray for Your people in this congregation, O Lord, that Thou will continue to bless them and help them to follow You closely and be a good disciples of Jesus Christ, so that they may live their lives more and more like Jesus and to be conformed to the image of Your Son. Father, we thank Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.